I know we are all very excited because of the rare opportunity to do an Abhishek of Lord Nityananda. And also we are from the Balkans and we like to be very temperamental. But for now, I really request you to come down, look a little bit around where you are sitting. It's a beautiful arrangements with so many mangoes which have grown here, although it's winter. Can you see there is two trees with mangoes? The altar is full of mangoes because the devotees wanted to bring the memory of all of us to a very nice pastime which we heard about in the morning. That once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing with his and chanting with his devotees for 3 full days. And at the end, the devotees were tired and exhausted and wanted to eat mangoes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu planted a mango seed into the ground, and from this seed a wonderful mango tree, a spiritual mango tree grew, which had enough very big mangoes to satisfy all the devotees. Later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this incident as an example of his movement. He said, just like a mango tree has good mango fruits, the fruit of Krishna consciousness is also very sweet. It is love of Krishna. He said this, and he then begged his devotees. He said, I'm one gardener. I'm taking care of this unlimited tree with unlimited fruits. But how can I also distribute all the fruits? And he encouraged the devotees to become distributors of Krishna consciousness, distributors of mango. So today there are some very, very creative mangoes in the air. and that is the idea of this decoration. I would like to express a little bit about Lord Nityananda so that our Abhishek bathing ceremony is a little bit more connected. I would like to first of all request you to sit down and just become aware of the present time. You sit in the temple room. Most of you have a long, long journey. Some of you came from Germany, from England, from Russia, my God, Armenia, and different places, Switzerland. And some of you came from Croatia. Hare Krishna. Take a moment, time it, and think what you did before you came. It was so different from just chanting and dancing and staying in a crowded temple room like this. And then think, what was the motivation? Why did you come here? Why did you leave your warm apartment, travel so long through the snow? What did you actually want from the visit in the temple? Maybe to see friends like Bhavada. Bhavada ji, Hare Krishna. Or maybe you were thinking of, some were thinking of getting initiated. We found out this morning they had come with this motivation. whatever it is. Some of you might not think very deeply and had just the motivation, I would like to eat something good today. Maybe. I'm just trying to catch everyone here. Whatever the motivation is, I would like to even request you that you go a little bit deeper. Think of just three people who inspired you very much in your spiritual life, who motivated you to come forward in your life and come to the place where you are now. Maybe it's Srila Prabhupada, maybe it's a good older devotee, maybe it is also the personality of Lord Nityananda. It is sometimes very good if we connect with our spiritual motivation. I think as you do this now, you can see how all of a sudden the atmosphere is more peaceful, more concentrated, more in connection with what really matters, and not so much in connection with the superficial things. I often do this. I call it in my own life the Brunnhara, the meditation of the well, where one goes deeper and deeper to the ground of the well, where one can find so much good inspirations. So often I find in my life that I live a very fast life, a life where I'm just concentrated on the things I need to do and need to accomplish. But I'm not always asking why I'm doing it, why I'm a devotee of Krishna, what is it all about, what I'm looking for. And the moment I personally connect to that why dimension, I find a lot of motivation and inspiration in life.
Nitanandaram 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 Nitanandaram, Nitanandaram,
Nityananda Ram. Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram, Nityananda Ram.
As you have heard, today is Nityananda's Appearance Day. Who is Nityananda? We hear in the scriptures that he is actually the first expansion of Krishna. When Krishna steps to the right side, or the left side, you could say, he becomes Balaram. And it's different than when we step to the right side. Oh, yeah, we are for the moment, for a little while, on the right side, and then we step back to where we came from, and then the place we occupied when we were stepping to the side now is empty. But when Krishna steps to the right side, he's Balaram, and when he steps back, Balaram is still there. It's a difference. He's, this is God. So when Krishna appears in this age, he comes in a golden color. The flute of Krishna is left back. And he comes and has a stick, this stick of the renunciants, the sannyas danda. No? When Krishna appears in Kali Yuga, his blue color disappears and a golden color comes. When Krishna comes in Kali Yuga, his beautiful black hair are disappearing, and instead He is like Gaurahari, shaved up, or like Ananda Vardhan, a natural consequence of the Vata element. So he's sannyas. And he is accompanied with his first expansion, that is Lord Balaram. Or Lord Nityananda. Now, Lord Nityananda would regularly pay visits to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the town of Jagannath Puri. Regularly he would come. Once a year, minimum. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would meet with him, often in confidence, in private, in a garden in Puri. And they would discuss many things. Things which we ordinary souls are not entitled to, deep spiritual secrets. And then Lord Nityananda, and I want to tell you about this, would leave Jagannath Puri together with his associates. And now we can hear a little bit about Nityananda. He used to be so blissful and so ecstatic that he lost the way. Sometimes this happens when you are. I remember we were once having a big concert tour, Harinam concert tour in Russia, and we were flying with an airplane, a special, our own airplane, because we had so many helpers that we needed to just transport them with our own airplane from town to town. And once, the the devotees on board of the airplane started to talk about Krishna consciousness to the pilots, and the pilots totally forgot where they were flying. They missed Moscow and went in the direction of Alaska. In the midst of the flight, they noticed, my God, our fuel is going out. We need to land somewhere. So then, where do we land? You know, in the midst of the forest or somewhere? It was a difficult operation. So that happens when one is in ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. One tends to forget about his material goals. So the devotees with Lord Nityananda, they would try to go back to Bengal, but they were always losing the way because they were just chanting and dancing all the while. And so after a long, long time, they finally arrived where they wanted to come. They arrived in Raghavendra Pandit's place in the village at the bank of the Ganga. And there, on the bank of the Ganga, Lord Nityananda with his devotees made a wonderful festival. A festival which was the Chir Dohi festival. A festival where all his devotees would get a big container like this with jokot and rice, and with condensed, a second container, a clay pot with rice and condensed milk. Very sweet. So they were sitting there and eating these two types of foods. It is described, so many devotees came, more than here, that the place on the bank of the Ganga was not big enough. And so they had to sit in the water with their two pots of yogurt and eat from one yogurt pot and from another pot the condensed milk pot. And while this eating festival was going on, Lord Nityananda invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now please know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hundreds and hundreds of kilometers away in Puri. He didn't come with Lord Nityananda. But by his spiritual potency, Lord Nityananda called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he walked with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu between the two rows of devotees who were peacefully eating their preparations. And he would sometimes take a little rice from each plate and from each container and just throw it in the air for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to eat. That is what he did. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come in an invisible form, and Lord Nityananda was distributing prasadam to him. And he ate it in an invisible form. The uninformed people thought the rice is disappearing in the air. And those who had spiritual vision saw Lord Chaitanya walking between the rows of devotees and accepting food from their plates. Then in the evening, they had an extraordinary kirtan. In this kirtan, the devotees who were participating were clearly enlivened by Lord Nityananda. Some of them danced and climbed on trees while they were dancing. And they were happily dancing on the branches of the trees, who, by the power of Lord Nityananda, didn't break. It's almost like if we have a kirtan and all of a sudden Jai Gopal decides to jump on this very fragile and thin little roof, a little branch. And by the power of Lord Nityananda, the branch did not break. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came there when Lord Nityananda called him. The devotees could smell the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked to wear a garland from the Damanaka flowers, which did not grow in Bengal. So when Lord Nityananda again called his dear brother to be there in the Sankirtan festival, Gauranga came, but again in an invisible form. The devotees could only smell his garland, a garland made from Damanaka flowers. The wonder of Nityananda is that wherever he comes, he brings his brother Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And I believe this is one of the benefits of such a festival. When we celebrate Lord Nityananda's appearance day, he can be so kind to call his brother Gauranga, who then comes and takes on his seat in the temple of our own hearts. This is Lord Nityananda's potency. He can make Gauranga Mahaprabhu visible to one and all. And this is, I believe, the benefit of coming and celebrating Lord Nityananda's festival. He can make God appear in our hearts. Now, there is something else which I would like to share with you, which can make the Lord appear in our hearts. Real spiritual life means that God appears in your heart. You must be able to feel his presence. You must be able to experience the wonderful, let me say, almost effulgence, you know, what comes from the Lord in your heart in order to live a genuine spiritual life. Here in this world, people who come into this world are overwhelmed with an inner darkness, a darkness which is more difficult to remove than the outer darkness. We know that people have always feared darkness. They have made fire when they were in the forest, to be safe, even in a dark forest. They were afraid when there was the new moon, that means no moon, and waited for the sun to come. But much more dangerous than this outer darkness, where so many unseen dangers lie, is the inner darkness in our heart. The inner darkness, which is called by avidya, or ignorance and forgetfulness of Krishna. Genuine spiritual life means to awaken the inner sun so that the inner darkness can be removed. How much is the sun of Krishna already shining in your hearts? This is a good question for you to think about today on Lord Nityananda's appearance day. How much is the inner darkness removed from your hearts? And how much is, in place of the inner darkness, the bright light of Krishna consciousness there, which comes when the sun of Krishna rises in the sky of your heart? These are very important questions. And as I said, this practice of daily connecting with Krishna is something which Lord Nityananda teaches us, and what we can learn on his appearance day. This practice of consciously coming into contact with Krishna. That is something which I feel is a very, very important. There is a very nice verse which I would like to read to you about this making contact. It's one of my favorite verses, and I now have made a firm decision to learn it by heart, but I still need this help here. Kayena vacha manasendeva mudyatmana vanushita svabhava karoti yat yat sakalang parasmai narayanayeti samapayetat. Each one of us has a particular nature. Whatever one's nature is, one should offer all the activities of the body, the words, the mind, the senses and the intelligence to the Supreme. And one should think, this is for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. This meditation that you do offer your ordinary activities for the pleasure of Lord Krishna is the first step to make connection. Krishna talks about this, that we can offer our ordinary activities to him by saying, yat karoshi yat ashnashi yat shyoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurushva madarpanam. He says, O Arjuna, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, and all the austerities that you perform should be done as an offering unto me. The idea here is that you need to connect with Krishna. Let us be very practical. In the morning, an ordinary person gets up and offers and brushes his teeth so that he doesn't look like a, how do you say, like an Albansky. No, that is not correct. We must be very careful. That he looks like a civilized person when he smiles. Huh? Then he goes under the shower, ordinary civilized person, so that he smells properly. Then he eats, and then he meets his friends, and he goes to work. He does this in order to live a comfortable life in this world. A devotee of Krishna thinks differently. When he gets up and brushes his teeth and showers and talks with the devotees, it's different. He knows, I will serve Krishna today, and I will make myself fit for the service of Krishna. I will glorify Krishna. I will live for Krishna's pleasure today. This is a great difference between a non-devotee and a devotee. The devotee really sees and knows Krishna is everywhere. There was once a great guru who had many disciples, and the disciples told him, Guru Maharaj, we are learning since 20 years from you, but we have not reached enlightenment. If you don't give us enlightenment in 1 week, we will leave you. So the guru thought, what to do? He asked for a basket of fruits and said, I will give you one more test. When you are successful in doing this test, you will reach enlightenment. All right, if we do that one test, we will wait before we leave you. The guru said, each one of you take a fruit, a banana, and he gave someone an apple, another a mango, but a real mango, not like this. And he said, your task is very simple. You take this fruit which I have given to you, and you eat it, but you need to first find a place where no one sees you. Then you take your fruit in that place where no one sees you, and you have to eat it in absolute solitude. Oh, said the disciples, we can make this test. And they went, someone went to the waterfall, another went to the rocky mountains, not rocky mountains, to the rock in the forest. Another went into the deep, deep forest, and they ate the fruit at a place where they were absolutely sure no one was there and watching them. And they came back after a little while, and they showed the guru, here, you have to give us enlightenment now. Here's my banana, it's eaten, you know, it's only the peel. Another showed the apple, you know, here, I've eaten the apple, no one has seen me. This is left. Only Gopal did not return. The guru said, I can only give you enlightenment when every one of my disciples has returned. So they waited for a few days. And then after 4 days, a crying Gopal came back. He was crying. Everyone thought, anyways, he's a little... You know, a little... I don't know how to say, you know what I mean. Then the guru said, Gopal, did you not fulfill the simple task which I asked you, to eat a fruit where absolutely no one was watching? Gopal said, Guru Maharaj, I couldn't find a place. Aha, so the others, he could have gone into the forest, no problem. I couldn't find a place. I went into caves. I went into deep forests. But everywhere I felt someone is watching. Because everywhere is God. There's no place in this world where God is not present. No atom where the Lord is not present. So the disciples looked at Gopal. My God. He has understood something which we have not understood. The guru said, see, that's why you can't get enlightenment, because you have not understood the first lesson. Vasudeva Savam Iti. The Lord is everywhere. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, just like the devotee knows Krishna is everywhere, the non-devotee thinks God is nowhere. That is. So this idea that the Lord is everywhere, he is present, he is all-pervading, nothing and no one is ever separated from the Supreme, forms the basis of this little activity which I want to suggest to you. That as you go through your life, you should see that everywhere is Krishna is present, and you should offer even your ordinary activities to the Supreme Lord. You may say, but how can I reach the God with material activities? Because I'm doing material activities. But here is how. Just like when an ordinary river comes into Ganga, becomes a sacred river, in the same way your activities, when you dedicate them for Krishna, become sacred. That's why, you know, when we sing kirtan, we use our voice and we use our harmonium and madanga. These are ordinary things, but because they come into the Ganga of Krishna consciousness, they are, it's done for Krishna. It becomes divine song. The same is with activities. Whenever you do your activities and dedicate them for the pleasure of the Lord, no, then it becomes a divine activities, and your life is no longer an ordinary life, it is an extraordinary life. It is a divine life. This is the beginning, the first step, where according to your present nature, you start to meditate about the Lord and you say, Narayana yeti samapayattat. This is for the pleasure of the Lord, which I do. Now, there is a second step how you can make more advancement. See, an ordinary person may live in a country and pay taxes, but that doesn't mean he loves the government. So you can do on this first step, which I was talking about, where you offer your activities to Krishna. It doesn't really mean you necessarily love Krishna or have a deeper connection to him. So this is only the start, where you start with your ordinary activity, like a person in the government or in a country who pays some taxes with his ordinary work. This is the first step. It's the first step to help you connect. But there is a higher step, which is expressed by Jiva Goswami. And this sounds quite intense. It says, the devotee who wants to attain love of Godhead prays, may the merciful Lord show mercy on me by demonstrating the misery created by sinful material desires. The devotee feels, I'm so much an illusion by living my ordinary life and just dedicating a little of it to Krishna. Let this all go. I want to understand how I can only be happy in Krishna consciousness. And then he prays, oh, as the minds of young girls take pleasure in thinking of a young boy, and those of young boys take pleasure in thinking of a young girl, may my mind take pleasure in you alone. And the devotee will say, whatever attraction I have now for my ordinary material activities, please, my dear Lord, let this attraction come for you only. So in order to be able to pray like this, and in order to come from an ordinary religious life to an ecstatic, loving life, life in yoga, you need duhanesnaga, or spiritual strength. You need some ecstasy in your heart so that you can let go of your material desires and fall in love with Krishna. And I want to read you in the end a song about Lord Nitai Chanda, means Lord Nityananda, who is the very root, the very cause of divine ecstasy. It is said Lord Nityananda's eyes look like the sunrise, and he has a desire in his heart to be compassionate to the fallen souls. He constantly sings, Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Yes. He joyfully dances with his devotees. He smiles all the time, very friendly, and he speaks so sweetly while he's always nodding his head. Lord Nityananda looks like that. He's nodding his head because he wants to encourage everyone. When he meets a fallen soul, he simply embraces them and chants the name of Gauranga. Gauranga!
Gauranga!
And day and night, Lord Nityananda is drowning in joy. With great endeavor, he protected the treasure of prema and gave the prema to the whole world. And it says, I want to end here. Sometimes he sweats. Sometimes he laments. Sometimes his hairs stand on end with bliss. Sometimes he jumps very far. Sometimes he leaps into the air very high. And sometimes he makes deep sounds. He is the ocean of mercy, the friend of all, and the full moon who destroys the inner darkness which comes because of Kali Yuga. He looks over the whole world and he removes the curtain of Maya and delivers everyone. The whole world has received love of God from Nitai. Only the author of this poem has been left out. Hare Krishna. Why do we sometimes feel we are left out of Krishna consciousness? It's because of this, my dear devotees and my dear people. We have not yet learned the art to connect. Whatever we do, we should learn to connect that and see Krishna everywhere. Like that little Gopal who could not find a place where God is not present. We should also remember Krishna is present wherever we are and we can dedicate our activities to him. That is the mood of a devotee. If you have this mood, then very easily the mercy of Nityananda and the higher levels of Krishna consciousness can come to you. But you must start there. You must learn to connect. Now, Prabhupada wrote about this. The nectar of devotion will teach us how to turn on the one switch, chik, which will The nectar of devotion will teach us how to turn that one switch that will immediately brighten everything, everywhere. One who does not know the simple, natural method of loving Krishna is missing the point of life. So if you forget everything I said today, that is possible. No problem. Remember the one switch. That is an exercise which you can do every day. It's called the Sambandha meditation, where you connect even your ordinary activities to Krishna. Start like this. Prabhupada encouraged the hippies in Haight-Ashbury in America that why not start your day, offer what is dear to you to Krishna. So the hippies came and offered their new jeans and their new jackets to Krishna. The apples, which they ate later, they offered it on the altar of Lord of the San Francisco temple. And many of these hippies, by following this simple method, became great devotees and gurus of the Hare Krishna movement. Hare Krishna. One switch. Offering your daily activities for the pleasure of Krishna. Then you can later say, oh, why should I only offer Krishna what I like? I want to offer Krishna what he likes. And that is the more advanced state which will come to you. Today, we will now start to offer something to Krishna what he likes. We will bathe him in yogurt and milk. He likes it. And honey. When I was in Delhi, I got an Ayurvedic treatment. And one treatment, you are lying down and they pour milk on you. And honey also? No honey. Rice. Rice. And you feel like you get a new body when they do this a few times. It's very enjoyable. So today we want to give Krishna a milk bath and a honey bath and a sugar water bath and a jewel bath. We take actually water, put jewels inside, and then bathe him with the jewel water. We want to step today out of our ordinary world, where we always do things which we like, and then sometimes offer them to Krishna. We want to today give him what he likes. And we will accompany this with singing, beautiful singing. We will try to not talk in this room. Wow! We will just sing and bathe the Lord. What do you think of this project? If necessary talks need to be done, which I can fully understand, there is a well-heated room just outside, not in the cold air. You know, you just go to the right. It's with a lounge and with the exquisite furniture that can be done. But today, let us create really a temple of sound here and a temple of concentration. And please, Lord Nityananda, and ask him for his mercy. And you will see great benefits will happen in your spiritual life. Bhavada, full concentration. I know you are a little elderly and you have many friends here, but for this Abhishek, please full concentration on Lord Nityananda. Yes, and that we will do. And in this way, we will connect our singing with the Lord.